Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34, titled, They Understood None of These Things. And to listen to the conclusion of this two-part study, visit bbfohio.com and scroll down slightly for the playlist of our most recent studies. That website again is bbfohio.com, where you can also find our contact and donation information. And now we begin with a current events update, and then our study. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34 is titled, They Understood None of These Things. This is part one of two.
Current events update number one, the America Last Agenda. Globalism prepping America for the coming Antichrist.
Yeah. Amen.
This report, Joe Biden sold nearly 1 million barrels from U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to CCP-owned oil company linked to Hunter Biden firm.
Wow.
That's the communist China.
Chinese Communist Party?
Good question. CCP refers to communist China. President Joe Biden's administration sold 950,000 barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to a Chinese state-owned gas company that has financial ties to a private equity firm co-founded by Hunter Biden, according to a Washington Free Beacon report. In April, Biden's Department of Energy announced the nearly 1 million barrel sale to Unipec, which is the trading arm of Sinopec. Sinopec is wholly owned and operated by the Chinese Communist Party. Now, Joe Biden and his family aren't the only or the first political family to be corrupt and to do this kind of thing. But this is nothing new, but it's never right.
Amen.
And it's just wrong. You remember how Russia got stronger as the Bidens and Clintons got richer in the 90s and 2000s. Some of the same thing going on. In years before Moscow invaded Ukraine, Democrats enriched themselves politically and personally from oligarchs and businesses in the region while empowering Vladimir Putin with energy and technology deals. There's an author named Peter Schweitzer who has documented this corruption. He came out with a book called Clinton Cash that I've read. He came out with another that I haven't read yet called Secret Empires. You'll notice Mitch McConnell right there and Donald Trump's son-in-law over to the right of that cover, along with Biden and Obama and John Kerry. And here, this is called Red-Handed, Profiles in Corruption and Clinton Cash. You'll see the former Speaker of the House Republican, John Boehner, Elon Musk, Nancy Pelosi, LeBron James, Henry Kissinger, Bill Gates, all along the bottom of the cover there. And he documents all this corruption. There are other books that document the corruption of the Bush family with the Saudi Arabian dynasty and so forth and so on. The end of America as a sovereign constitutional republic.
Wow.
That's exactly what's happening. It's only a matter of time. We're already, our Constitution's already on life support. It's a very strange thing to see God allow us to have such a reprieve, even as Biden is president and he's a leftist communist. But yet, because of the Supreme Court, the restoration of some rights of freedom of religion, with that coach winning the appeal on that his case. Abortion, Roe v. Wade being overturned and sent back to the states. There's still 30-some states that are butchering babies in the womb, but more and more states keep outlawing it as time goes on. And I'm leaving something out, but there's been several wins, other things going on. But this is all just in time for the arrival of the beast. And you just keep that in mind when you see this stuff going on TV and you get angry about it sometimes. And if you're not angry when you see this stuff going on, there's something wrong with you. The Bible says it's sin to be angry without a cause. It's a sin not to be angry when there is a cause. And there is a cause. Current event number two, we support Israel. Amen?
Amen.
And grieve over her wickedness.
Amen.
We grieve over the fact that a mass majority of Jews in this world and the mass majority of citizens in Israel, Jew or and otherwise, reject Jesus Christ. That's just the reality. They invited this man who pretends to be a woman, a man who is referred to as a woman, and you are expected to do likewise. And if the Democrat left had its way, they'd pass laws criminalizing it if you didn't call him a woman. And he goes by the name Rachel. That's not his real name. And if you use his real name, they call it dead naming and they want to outlaw it. Dead naming. We talked about that last week. You've seen that Ellen Page actress who's now calling herself Elliot. And because Jordan Peterson, some of you recognize that name, he referred to Ellen as Ellen and not as Elliot, dead naming her, and Twitter suspended him. And this liberal cult, it's a religion. It's a God-hating cult. And that's why they want to kill babies. They want not just abortion. If they had their way, it'd be even after that baby's born, if you didn't want it, you could kill it.
Yep.
They're full-blown euthanasia.
Yep.
They want to get rid of the elderly who reach a certain point.
Yep.
And what the way they're doing that is to try to make it easy and legal to kill yourself and even have doctors assist you in doctor-assisted suicide. They love death. They also are blind spiritually, which makes them intellectually insane, and that's why they're communist. And that's why they want to take away your right to own guns, so that the government can control everything you say and do. They do not believe in freedom of religion, and they do not believe in freedom of speech. The liberal left is behind all the censorship going on today. You can't find censorship going on anywhere where the liberal left isn't behind it.
Amen.
And then you've got a lukewarm Laodicean Christianity today,
yeah,
who is either too stupid or cowardice to stand up against this. That's the icing on Satan's cake.
Yeah. That's right.
And so this dude stands up in front of the Knesset, I believe, in Israel. Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services is his position. Praised Israel on Wednesday for its tolerant policies toward transgender people. Levine or Levin, whatever, Levin would be the best name for him.
Yeah.
A biological male who identifies as a woman spoke to the Israeli embassy. I'm sorry, it's at the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. at a so-called gay pride event. Now look at that. What's the first word? If some of you can see that.
She.
Breitbart even bows and calls him she. See that right there? Some of you can see that?
Yeah.
We're going to correct him. He also praised Israel for its tolerant stance. Quote, I commend everyone here today for your commitment to equity, to diversity, and inclusion, he said. Israel has long allowed transgender soldiers to serve in their military. It won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1998, represented by a transgender singer, some dude going by the name Sharon, and used the stage name Dana International, blah, blah, blah. So this, too, coincides with the coming time of the Great Tribulation. How so? You look in Revelation 11:8, and the condition of Jerusalem during the tribulation is so wicked. Speaking of Jerusalem, Revelation 11:8 says, which spiritually is called Sodom. That's referring to Jerusalem.
Amen.
And Egypt. And how do you know it's Jerusalem? Well, where also our Lord was crucified.
Yep.
The very holy city, they call it over there. There's nothing holy about that. It's got a holy status with God, but it's one of the most unholy cities on the planet right now.
Amen.
And if you don't think God is gracious and long-suffering and patient, you don't know anything about what they're doing to that holy city over there.
Yep.
Romans 11:25 promises, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And we don't have time to get into all that, but when Jesus returns, he is going to destroy all the wicked, and Jerusalem will truly be a holy city. So, what do we do with that? There's a lot of imbeciles in pulpits who claim to be dispensationalists who are turning against Israel because of these things. That's not the biblical response. The Bible believer will support Israel's existence, but not support their sins.
Amen.
That's how simple it is. That's true of everybody, anybody. I don't care who it is. If you have a child, you love that child, but you don't support their sin and accommodate their sin, and if theirs do what a couple of mine have done and never talk to you again, that's the price you pay for standing for the Lord.
Amen.
But there are a lot of Christian families opening their homes to Sodom because they're selling out Jesus Christ to make their children their little idols. If you are here for the right reason, you're here to learn the Word.
Amen?
Amen. If you're here, I just have to say this every once in a while, because I get this feedback from other people going to other churches and then others who will ask me, I am not the Holy Spirit. My name is Greg Miller. Good to meet you.
Amen.
The pastor is here to teach you the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can apply it to your life individually, personally.
Amen.
You're to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ, and as you learn what we teach here, you apply it. Now, I say that because a lot of people go to church, they don't want to learn the Bible, but they want the Holy Spirit to speak to them. You'll hear them say that.
Yeah.
I go to my church because the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and I've listened to what is preached. They'll send me a link. You'll like this sermon. I didn't like it because it didn't teach anything from the Bible.
That's right.
And the pastor was playing Holy Spirit with everybody in the crowd. How can I do that? Every one of you are at a different place in your walk with the Lord.
Amen.
Every one of you are in a different place in your growth spiritually. Every one of you have different things going on in your lives. Now, there'll be times where the preacher will say something and apply the text and it will hit you. But a lot of people, they only want to hear that if it makes them feel good. And a lot of people get mad at me because when I hit them, it's a right hook. Or it's stomping on their toes, wherever you want to say it. Now, I'm not doing that on purpose, and I'm not trying to play the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, no matter what this book tells us, we have a duty to receive it and apply it to our lives. But I'm not the one supposed to do that. You are. And so you learn what you learn here, and then you read your Bible tomorrow several times, morning, noon, and night. Read your Bible Tuesday, morning, noon, and night. Wednesday, morning, noon, and night. Come back here for some Bible study or join us online. We'll do another Bible study. So that then Thursday, you read your Bible morning, noon, and night. And everything you learn here helps you more and more to grow and to be able to read and understand that Bible on your own.
Amen.
And what I see today, even among fundamental Christians, they're like little children, always just running around looking for ice cream. They will not sit and listen to Bible teaching. And then I watch them make shipwreck. And it gets a little frustrating. Because I love them. I don't want to see you make shipwreck. Anyone listening today, I don't want to see you make shipwreck. I want you to grow. So turn off the clown shows and study the Word and then let God speak to you. Amen?
Amen.
And I've seen it this week. I've seen it this week, and it just makes me sick. But anyway, we're going to see these guys following Jesus, his disciples. They were doing the same thing. They weren't paying attention. They weren't listening to what Jesus was actually saying. They just liked, I think they liked the miracles, and they liked the camaraderie, and I believe they did believe Jesus was the Messiah. And even the Messiah had trouble teaching people. Because you have to be teachable.
Amen.
And these guys weren't. So before beginning the final journey to Jerusalem that we introduced in our previous study, Jesus prophesied. And that's what we're going to read here. Beginning verse 31 that we looked at last week through verse 34. I want you to read the even verses with me. So I'll start in verse 31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. You can say amen or oh me.
Amen.
We closed our last study looking at what's about to happen to Jesus. In Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, go on your own time this week and read those. Amazing prophecies about the coming Messiah. There in verse 31, then he took unto him the 12. And said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. The claims that Jesus did not understand his mission to die for sins is absurd. How many of you heard that? That during the lifetime of Jesus, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't even know he's Messiah. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah, there's whole religions and cults based on that idea. That when he was baptized, that's when he became the anointed. And that from that time on, he was learning who he was and so forth. Well, right here we see that he describes what's about to happen. So he obviously knew what was going to happen. That's a Jenny comment there. I get that from my wife all the time. Yeah, well, you're either going to die or you're not. It's either going to stop hurting or it's not. I get that kind of wisdom all the time. But it's really that simple. And Jesus will now spell out his own prophecy about his death and resurrection. So he obviously knew what was going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
See, what you just learned helps you in apologetics. Apologetics just means defending the faith. An apology when it comes to philosophy and religion isn't saying, I'm so sorry for what I believe. An apology is a defense for your faith. Apologetics. You just learned something. Anytime someone says, well, Jesus didn't even know he was going, oh, wait a minute, I remember in Luke 18. And even if you can't remember exactly, you all do realize we're going verse by verse through Luke. And you might remember the chapter and then open up. Don't act like you don't have to be a walking encyclopedia. But know generally at least where you can find these things and share it with people. But see, if you're not, here's the thing. Here's the key. Here's how cults exist. You don't read your Bible through the week and you attend a church that doesn't teach it. They can tell you anything and you're not going to know any better.
Yeah. Yep.
How was it in Acts 17:11? The Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily to see if what the Apostle Paul was teaching was so. I'm no Paul. You better be searching. Nobody in a pulpit today is the Apostle Paul. So everybody should be searching the scriptures daily to see if what you're learning at your church is so. And if you're not learning what you're not learning the Bible, get a church, because that's not a real church.
Amen.
A real church teaches the Bible.
Amen.
So Luke 18, verses 32 and 33, then we get into the meat here. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. We're not going to go line by line on this. We're going to see it as we continue through the book of Luke. And we're going to see it play out. He's prophesying and telling everybody what's about to happen. And this prophecy from Jesus Christ lays out each point of the gospel that we are to believe in order to be saved. How many of you heard that Jesus never preached the gospel? There are people who teach that. And they'll say Paul was the first person to teach the gospel or preach the gospel. And that's not true. What Paul did was receive mysteries about the gospel, including how that up till this point, no one was saved by believing the gospel of grace. And we're going to see in a minute, but most churches, most fundamental churches will tell you otherwise. They'll tell you, well, we preach the same gospel that has always been preached. Nonsense. And Paul received the mystery of the body, which means that Jew and Gentile now become one body. not by circumcision of the flesh, but circumcision of the spirit. Not just male, but every sinner. Neither Jew nor Gentile. Neither male nor female. That's not saying that we are a genderless world. It's saying that no matter which you are, God just looks at you as a sinner who needs to be saved. And if you turn to Him, believing that gospel that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, you now are part of the body. It's an amazing, it's a mystery. No one knew that before Paul. But the idea that no one preached the gospel before Paul is, well, we just proved it wrong right there.
Right.
Scripture with Scripture, Jesus preached the gospel. And so compare what we just read with the gospel as spelled out by the Apostle Paul. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. I know some of you, hopefully most of you, if not all of you, know this very well, this passage. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. I'll have you read the even verses with me. I'll start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Okay, so we got it settled. He's going to declare unto us the gospel. Amen? Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, is that not exactly what Jesus just preached? Luke 18, 32-33, He'll be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge Him and put Him to death, and the third day He shall rise again. That's the death, burial, and resurrection according to the Scriptures.
Amen.
This was never preached before, and was not understood even up to this point by those personally taught by Jesus. It was prophesied, but it was never preached and presented with the name, first of all, of name of the Messiah, Jesus. And it was never explained in regards to salvation being applied to those who believe it. In other words, the prophets prophesied, but we're going to see in a minute, they didn't even understand what they were saying. But first, let's start with his 12 apostles. Look at verse 34. And they understood none of these things. Now, I've heard men stand in the pulpit and lie and tell you that the apostles at the time are already believers in the death, burial, and resurrection and saved by the same gospel you and I are. They're calling Jesus a liar.
Wow.
They're calling Luke a liar. Luke says, and they understood none of these things. Can you be saved without understanding how that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, according to the Scriptures? You can't be saved unless you understand that. But many modern fundamentalists and evangelicals ignore this because it, I'm sorry, but a lot of our fundamental and evangelical friends and loved ones and preachers don't really care what the Bible says. Well, I was raised. Well, I was always taught. Well, I believe. Three things a Bible believer should never start his conversation with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you're saying, well, I was always taught, but the Bible says that this, so I no longer believe what I was always taught. That's how that sentence should end. This is taken from a book, No So Salvation, by a wonderful man of God, John R. Rice. Wonderful man of God. Preached the gospel, untold numbers were saved. And he produced soul winners. Thank God for John R. Rice.
Amen.
But he's wrong here.
Amen.
And it's amazing how that people become worshipers of men, and you can't tell the truth when they're wrong. I've been wrong before. And if anybody ever shows you where I was wrong, I'm not going to get mad at you for believing them. But that's how people are. He says this, in all ages, God has had only one plan of salvation. Just not true. You know what the plan of salvation is in the garden? Don't eat of that tree over there called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yep. Amen.
Now, let this secret out. It wasn't an apple. It wasn't a peach. Any Georgians here say amen? It wasn't a grape. You know what it was? It was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a fruit. And that fruit was from a tree called the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not anywhere out there right now. You don't have... You today, if I preach that, go somewhere else because I'd be a nut. You do not have to worry about eating that tree. If I started building an ark and I wasn't doing it for the same reason Ken Ham did, he built an ark so you could see how big the ark was and that sort of thing. Fine. But if I built an ark, or if Ken had built that ark saying, I'm going to save everyone who will come in here, that'd be a false gospel. Noah preached that, and it was a true gospel. That's how simple dispensations are.